few moments, turn to 1 Kings chapter number 17. We'll read verse 1 down through verse number 24. The Bible said in Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. So he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make for thee for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? He said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come in to him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came to him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. As I mentioned this morning, when Elijah comes on the scene, he does so because of the condition that Israel is in. She's playing king. And God is going to confront her as a result of it. It is a time of national separation, a time of sinful continuation, a time of imitation salvation. And of course, every king has his own God. He creates that God in his own image. You go back to Egypt and you can see the many gods that the Lord judged by those plagues. The gods of those kings of that land in that day. And of course, even in our text here, Ahab has his own personal god. As Jezebel brings along with her as they marry, it is Baal. And the great conflict as Elijah faces it when he comes on the scene is this question. Who is really God? And Elijah is a slap in the face of Israel, as his compound name means, my God is Jehovah. And so he brings Jehovah to them. And he wants them to know that God is still on the throne. But the question might be asked, well, if your God is God, if the real God will stand forth, we would ask this question, can your God speak? Does your God have a voice? What language does your God speak? And so what Elijah does here is he brings them the truth about God. He brings them in chapter number 17. He shows them the word of the Lord. And of course, we know that God speaks. The question is not, can God speak? The question is, can we and will we hear when he speaks? His word, the Bible said, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so Elijah presents to them, he lets them know that his God is Jehovah and that his God has a word. His God is able to communicate. His God is able to speak. And I want us to look into this text as to this matter of the Word of God. The Word of God. It's the difference between an idol and a pagan God with a small g, and the real God who is the Jehovah contained in Elijah's name, who is the eternal self-existent one, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And of course, these gods still exist. These represented gods made in the image of man are still in existence in this hour. And I'm going to tell you, to confront this world, we have to have more than just a title. We have to have more than just a religious emblem. We have to have more than just a steeple on top of a building somewhere. God's voice has to be brought into this. I mean, a real living voice, a voice that can be heard. The thing that's going to speak to the hearts of people is not our theories and not our so-called doctrines and things of that nature. They must hear the very voice of God. Because what we know is the thing that changed our lives was the very voice of God. And there is no substitute for the voice of God. Now, as I read this text, I want to mention to you three things about the Word of the Lord. The first thing that I want to emphasize is how the Word of the Lord traces us. I could say it this way, how the Word of the Lord chases us. In other words, I want us to see that God's Word has energy. God's Word has movement. God's Word has action. God's Word has activity. And if you'll notice in verse number 2, in the midst of all this mess as far as Israel is concerned, the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, came unto Elijah. And then you can see it again in verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Now I'm glad that we have a Bible. And I'm glad that I can go to this Bible anytime I'd like. And I do go to the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, the thing that has sustained my life and operated in my life has been the truth that one day the Word of God came to me. As a lost boy, 14 years old, I had heard with the human ear the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection on 3 occasions. On that Sunday morning when I left, I was not mad, I was not sad, I was not glad, I was not moved. But this much I said in my own heart, well, I don't know, you know, these fellas, people seem to be getting along with whatever they're doing here, but it just ain't for me. That's what I made up my mind. That just ain't for me. And pretty well knew that I would not be back. Wasn't that I was again it. Wasn't that I was mad. It's just something that didn't move me. But on that very Sunday afternoon, walking down a little alley, as I often preach, all by myself, that word that I had heard on those 3 Sunday mornings came after me. That word, as the scripture said right here, had action to it. There was no preacher there. There was no church member there. I thought I was all by myself. But the Word of God traced me, and the Word of God chased me, and the Word of God spoke to me. And that was only the beginning of the Word of God's work in my heart and in my life. That any kind of transition, any kind of change, and there was much and still is much, has come as a result of what the Word of God could do in its movement in my direction as far as salvation is concerned. But it's true in every other level of life. It has been more than me just going to the Word. It's that time when those times of which this book comes to me. When it makes a move on me. Not only in salvation, but even in sanctification. The Word of God has moved on me. A lot of folks think that what preaching is you wake up one morning craving fried chicken, you don't want to go to work. But that ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm going to tell you something. It may be a bold statement to be made and to be had on this one time, this event, as I am preaching right now. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't know that I've ever preached anything that was worth much that I went after. But everything that I've ever preached that's been life-changing came after me. It got me first. And then it came out of me. And I sit and I ponder and I read the Word of God as all God's men should and consume the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. How many times, as Brother Lester will tell you and Brother Jeremy will tell you, have you opened this book and you read it and it didn't say nothing? You read it and it didn't say nothing. And you read it and you didn't just want to come Sunday and read something you had read. So, well, I read John 3 and John 4. I'm just going to read it today. And it didn't say nothing to you. And while I was going into the Word, The thing that makes a difference in my preaching is when that word gets in me. And it moves in my direction. And I'm going to tell you, whether it be Elijah, whether it be you, whether it be me, we are all handicapped to the movement of the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Now, this is not the only time that that phrase is used. As a matter of fact, if you'll go back, it says the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. It says the word of the Lord came unto Samuel. Remember when he was a young boy, it spoke to him. It said the word of the Lord came unto Nathan when he went and spoke to David. It came unto Solomon. It's seven times in Elijah's life it said the word of the Lord came unto him. Which would lead me to say that the word of the Lord was active before Elijah came on the scene. The word of the Lord was active for Elijah while he was on the scene. And the word of the Lord would be active after Elijah's on the scene, because it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came unto Hosea. I'm going to tell you, the word of God was active long before us, and the word of God will be active long after us. And the thing that encourages my heart is I know that there is a mighty word of God that can jar the hearts of men when it speaks to them. But the word has to do the speaking. And as this word spoke, I noticed that it is so active and it's so activated. It activates so much. Everything in chapter number 17 is activated and given life through the word of God. It was God's word that spoke to Elijah and activated him. It's God's word that, I'll tell you, brought even the weather into submission. It was God's word that he spoke to the ravens, the Bible said. It was God's word that brought about, I'm going to tell you, the great measure of bread and of oil to bake the bread. Everything in here is activated by God's word. But isn't that true? In creation, everything was activated by the word of God. Isn't it true in salvation? Everything's activated by the word of God. And I'm not going from church to church to church to tell them my little theories and my little philosophies and something I've read. I have come to bring them what has been activated in my heart. Because that is where the power lies. And this word that is so active, what we must understand, that even in our text, it is a word for sinners, it is a word for pagans, it's a word for kings, it's a word for widows, but it's also a word for Elijah. It's a word for me and you as God's children to be active and activated within our hearts. And what I'm constantly looking for in my TEDx meditations, and what I'm constantly waiting on is when a word runs me down, when a word chases me down, when a word catches up with me, when a word confronts me, when a word captures me. The energy of the word of the Lord, it came unto Elijah. And the blessing about coming together with the saints is through the midst of what happens here tonight, how often have you left and said, boy, God said something to me tonight. God said something to me tonight. In prayer or in somebody's testimony or in the preaching of the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, my Word which I have sent forth out of my mouth, that Word's a moving. And I rejoice to report to you that the Word of God is just as active in 2018 as it was in Elijah's day. Thank you, Lord. The Word of the Lord traces us, chases us in its energy. Now, I want you to look with me as verse number 1 introduces us to Elijah. I'm interested in a word in there. It is the word before, B-E-F-O-R-E. As a matter of fact, it's used four times, I think, in this text. And notice what it said. And then Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." Now, if you will go look that word up in this text, you will find that that word means face. It simply means face. That's what it means. Before whom I stand. In other words, the face of God. He said, I'm speaking to you a word, but that word's got a face. I'm standing, that word comes with a face. You ever hear somebody talk on the phone and then meet them and you say, I just didn't imagine you looked that way. It's got a face. Or I've been in meetings and they call on somebody to get up and preach, and I watch this little scraggly guy get up and he's supposed to be the main speaker, and I'm thinking, wow, what are we going to get out of this? Man, what a word. I said the face and the word, then the word didn't seem to go together. Now that word right there is, as I say, the word face. It is used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, that word right there is the same word as we find in Romans 8 and 28. Did you know that? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His face. It's the word purpose. It has the idea, called according to His oversight, called according to His view. In other words, what Elijah's saying is, I'm not just bringing you anybody's word. I'm bringing you the word of the Lord. It has a face. And it's the word of the Lord that has a purpose. And that's where that Isaiah, what is it, 55? Let my word that I've sent forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it'll accomplish that word to I've sent it. I've got a face and I'm overseeing it. God doesn't just sling His words out there and say, well, we'll see what comes out of it. If He speaks a word, every word, that's why His promises can come to pass. Because He don't just speak to be speaking. He speaks a word and He watches that word all the way to the end. And He's the one that's having the oversight. It's got a face to it. He said, Ahab, I want you to know that this word's not the word of Chemosh, and this is not the word of Baal, and this is not the word of, this is the word of Jehovah. It's got a face with it. He's overseeing His word. Now, when I think about the word of God and its face, it's evident here in this text that there's a human face to this word. And that is Elijah. He is the vessel that God is using. The face that Ahab sees is not, it is the face of Elijah. But let that never alarm us, because if God's got anything to say to this old world, He'll speak through a human representation. And Elijah was this man who come out of obscurity that no one really knew who he was or where he came from. But yet he was the man of God. He was ordained of God. He was given, although he be so odd and wear these strange clothes and I'm going to tell you, pray these strange prayers, he was God's man. He was God's face for humanity. Let us not take for granted those who bring the word of God to us. No matter who it be, whether it be a man of God, whether it be a grandmama, grandpa, thank God for those who come with the face of humanity, but yet they bring the word of God. There is a human face there, but there's a heavenly face in that this is, as I say, the face of Jehovah overseeing the very details, line upon line, precept upon precept of His Word. It's a human face. It's a heavenly face. But I'm going to tell you something. All of God's Word has His face on it. And you know who His face is? Huh? Christ. In other words, if you ever understand the idioms and languages of God Almighty, you're going to have to understand it through His Son. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. As a matter of fact, it was His Son that He used to speak this world into existence. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All of the Bible is as a book that is coded as far as mankind is concerned. Even the Old Testament, as Peter talked about, even those Old Testament prophets, they could not understand what they were writing. It was coded. It was veiled. But it wasn't until Jesus came that everything was decoded. And when the Apostle Paul understood for the first time who Jesus was, all of the Old Testament came alive for him because he saw it through the face of the Son of God. Hallelujah. And that's why we sing about the Son of God. That's why we worship the Son of God. That's why we praise the Son of God. Because it is His Word that has been spoken into our hearts and that is alive. Let the Word of Christ do what? Dwell in you richly. Got a face. It's got a face. And boy, when we look into this book, we see the face of Christ come alive to us on every page. He brings them the Word of the Lord, the Word of God. As we say, it paces, it traces us, it chases us, and then it faces us. Faces us. You know, a good understanding of that. Another word that is to help us understand this word before and this word purpose and this word face is that, did you know that in the New Testament, the word showbread, S-H-E-W-B-R-E-A-D, is used four times. But if you'll look back in it, if you look back at it and you look at the Greek on it, it's the same word. It is the same Greek word as the word purpose, which is the same word as the word before, which is the same word that is used in the Old Testament when that showbread, when God ordered the showbread, He didn't leave it to be a work of suggestion and a work of guesswork, I guess we would say. In other words, He didn't leave it to the imagination. It wasn't to the conjectures of men to say, okay, we got to make some bread. Okay, what do you want to put in it? And what do you want to put in? And how long do you think we ought to have it baked? And how much should we leave there? No. The word showbread means that God oversaw every facet of that bread. He told them what the ingredients were supposed to be. He told them how to make that bread. He told them how many slices to cut it in. He told them how long to leave it there. And He told them who could eat of it. In other words, God was right over top of it saying, this is the way I want it. And honey, that is God's Word. God's face is hovering over the Word that He sent forth to make sure that it comes to pass just as He spoke it. And that's why He don't have to have a plan B. His Word will accomplish it. So I say to you, the Word of the Lord came unto Him. It is a Word that chases us and traces us, comes after us, runs us down. It is also a word that faces us. My daughter Lydia, Abby's mother, she used to say to me, thinking about this matter of the face of God and in the Word, when I was going to have to chastise them, whether I was going to give them a long talk or whether they were due a whipping, always three licks, never over three licks, I would send them to the study. And they would wait in there, and usually I'd take at least 20 minutes, whatever. And that helped them out, me out too, and so I would go in there all calm, cool, collected. And she told me one day, she's an adult, she said, "Dad, you know, when you sent us into the study, I didn't really mind the whipping," said, "you know, they were three licks and I knew they'd be over. And I didn't mind the talking to us. I mean, you know, that went to," but she said it was all that 20 minutes sitting in there looking at all them godly books. That's what she said. All surrounded with all them godly books. Them books had a face to them. I loved it. That's why a lot of folks don't like this book. It's got a face to it. They don't want to get in this book. Because this book will, as you look into it, it'll look into you. But then I want you to notice with me, thirdly, that he brings them the word of the Lord. It's not only for the king, but it's for Elijah. It's for everybody. That traces us and it faces us. But he brings them the word of the Lord that, I would say it this way, paces us. Or we could say it places us. Because you'll notice in our text that the word of God is setting things up all along. And it does so in detail. If you'll look in verse number 2, you see that little word "the," T-H-E. And I'm going to give you a little bit of grammar here. I know it's boring, but I'm going somewhere. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook, Cherith. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Now you can see that scattered on down. Verse 10, he talks about the widow. And then it talks in verse 14 about the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil. And here's what I want you to understand is that word "the" there, as far as grammar is concerned, is called a definite article. It's a definite article. In other words, if I would say to someone, "Go up there and get the cup," that limits it to one. There is a special, specific cup that I want. So you're going to say, "Well, which one?" Because you said, if I say go get a cup, anything will work, as long as it's a cup. But if I say go get the cup, then it's a definite article. That's in grammar. It's alive in the Hebrew. It's alive in the Greek. The, which means something that is specific. So what he is saying to him, the word, not just any word, the word of the Lord comes unto him, a specific word. But the word of the Lord sends him to the brook. And speaks to the ravens. And also gets to the widow. And gets into the barrel. And brings forth the bread. It is specific. The specifics of the word of God that make it so special. In other words, we're not getting to heaven in a generalized way. He's the Son of God. And this is the Word of God. And He's the only way, hallelujah. But I'm glad that I know the Son of God. And so if Elijah deviates from that special place and that specific place, nothing's going to work like it needs to work. It has to be the, as it is found throughout this text. And so what the Word of God is doing, it is giving him a location. Aren't you glad that the Word of God has specific things to say to your life? I'm not in evangelism because I woke up one day and said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, going to find something to do and let us go. No. I'm doing it because that is exactly what God has spoke to my heart to do. Using His Word. And sent me to do that. The thee in my life is what I'm doing right now. It is my location that the Word of God has set up for my life. This is true in the Christian's life on all levels. I didn't just go marry a woman. I married the woman for my life. And y'all have heard the story. I just saw a picture and the Holy Ghost said, "That's her. Go get her." And I went and got her. Amen. And I married her too. She's right here. Hallelujah. And it was the thee in my life. And aren't you glad that there are things that God will speak to you through His Word that you'll know that this is exactly what He wants for you? And that you can live in the realm and the ramifications of the thee, the definite article of your heart and life, what He has told you to do. It has a location to it, but I would say to you that in this matter of the placing of God's Word, it not only has a location to it, it has a liberty to it. Because what we know is that the Word of God told him to go to the brook. Didn't it? But it didn't tell him what to do when he got to the brook. He's just said, "You go to the brook." And he went to the brook. Now, all I know is he's in the area of the Word of God. But yet the Word of God gives him liberty as far as the further details of it. I don't know how that water flowed. I don't know what else there could have been to do while he was there. He might have said to himself, "You know, I think I'm going to bed early tonight. I'm going to get me a good rock and I'm going to go to bed." If he wants to go to bed early, go to bed early. Or he might have said, "You know what? I'm just going to stay up tonight and count the stars. I'll go to bed late. I'll even sleep in late." If he wants to, he can. Because God hasn't said to him, as far as the Word of God, as to what, I mean, it's like you're going to go to your house tonight. Now, you're going to drink milk, or you're going to drink water, or you're going to fix you a sandwich, or you're going to eat leftovers. There's no need to praying about all that, because what's going to come back to you is just do what you want to. It don't matter to me. Have you ever had those? I'm going to tell you something. For the most percentage of my life, if I go to talking to, there have been times, believe me, listen, that he is not in detail about everything. No need to bother him as to whether what kind of toothpaste you need to use to brush your teeth. Brush your teeth. I hope you do. What kind of soap you use, or you know, whether you want a green, you know, or yellow, whatever. There is the liberty that we have in Christ while we're in the location of that detail of what He wants for our hearts and lives. I like that. I don't know about you. I like that. And I have done this on occasion. Most of the time, my preaching's under the influence of a thee. I mean, I'm waiting on him to say, "This is what I want you to preach on." I'm waiting on the thee. But I have on occasions, two or three, not many, I've been driving to church wrestling over what I'm going to preach, and God has said, "Don't make no difference to me. Just preach it. It's all my word. I'll work through it." I said, "Okay." And so I get there and I preach what is upon my heart, because I know he's put a lot in there, and I just let her flow. But what I'm trying to say to you is what the Word of God is. It's adjusting your life and getting you to where He wants you to be, to where His Word can operate at its fullest sense in your life. But yet at the same time, He's not making a robot out of you or a machine out of you. But He's allowing you to be human while His divine work is working amidst human circumstances. His Word is thank God, it is working and it is active in our hearts and in our lives as it traces us, as it paces us or places us, as it faces us. The Word of the Lord. He's presenting unto them. But the last thing I would say to you, as I noticed in this text, is that it seems as though that the Word of the Lord graces us. It is here that we see not only the energy and the expressions and explicits of the Word of God, but we see the effects of the Word of God. Did you notice throughout that text that it says according? But it always says according to one thing, the Word of the Lord. Now, if you look at that word according, what that word according simply means, it means to be in harmony. It means to be on the same pitch. It means to adjust to the chord or the note that is being played. It would be like one of these sisters coming up here and hitting a chord, as you do so well sing as a congregation, but you're not picking your own note. Someone, you come together and someone calls out a number and then the piano is hit and automatically everyone falls into tune. And what comes out of that is a harmony of voices. Now, someone may sing the lead, soprano, someone may sing the alto, someone else sing the tenor. You might even have some bass in there, but it is all according to the note, to the key, to the chord that is set, to the music that's coming out, and it brings out all of the beauty of the harmony of a song. Now, to do any less than that brings a horrible sound. If you've ever been to an orchestra and at the beginning of that orchestra, of course, everybody's getting their own instruments in tune. But to do so, it sounds terrible. Wang, 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 bang, bang, bling, bling, bling. Ooh, and everybody's making their own. Nothing has anything to do with what anybody else is doing. Everybody's minding their own business, making all of these wretched sounds. But all of a sudden, the conductor gets up and he begins, and everybody knows what that pitch is, what that key is, and they all come together at the same spot, and it is a chording, and the blend and the music and the beauty that comes out of it is amazing. But it's because it's in harmony. And what happens is once Elijah is in harmony, then the birds get in harmony, the brook gets in harmony, the boy gets in harmony, the bread gets in harmony, the barrel gets in harmony, and honey, that text just brings together such a beautiful blend because of the grace that flows out of God's Word that does things that you could never imagine could be ever accomplished. Who would have ever thought about ravens who are carnivorous, bringing bread and flesh in the morning and the evening to the man of God? Who would have ever imagined being able to reach into a barrel that everybody knows she has testified that is empty and keep bringing bread out of it? Who would have imagined a dead boy being brought back to to life. Who would have imagined all of that? It would have never happened unless there was some according. And honey, if you want God's blessing and God's grace, I'm going to tell you to abound in your heart and life. What you've got to do is get in harmony. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the best way I can explain it is this. Just get this old book and get to listening to what he's saying. And when he speaks, you go, and then you got it. Huh? See, that's what preaching is. Long before I get here, what I'm doing is I got this book and I'm going, Oh, did you hear that? You know what I'm talking about, Brother Les. You've opened this book up many times. You went through it. And all you're doing is you're going, And when it hits, you know you got what you need. And you bring the harmony of the Word of God to your people. And that harmony, as he took the harmony of the Word of God down to the brook, the harmony of the Word of God worked on, I say to you, to the birds in the air, to the brook that was flowing by. And when he took the harmony of the Word of God to a widow's house that is fixing to die, I'm going to tell you that harmony got in the barrel, the harmony got into the boy, the harmony got into the bread, everything started humming, and what a sound it brought! And all the beauty that comes out of a life that's interested in getting in key with the Word of God. And then the graces that only the harmony can bring begin to flow out of the lives of those who are in harmony. In harmony. Now, we understand there's a famine in the land, a great famine. Cattle dying. King's been trying to find Elijah, blamed it all on him. People even eating their own babies. Whew. Tragedy everywhere. Israel's upside down in a mess. There ain't no harmony nowhere. Except at Zarephath. In a little old house with a widow woman and her little old boy with an empty barrel and a little bit of cruise. And Elijah said, she said, I'm fixing to die. Me and the boy, Winger. He said, well, I'm going to tell you what, if you'll do this according to the word of the Lord, here's what's going to happen according to the word of the Lord. And faith took hold in her heart. Made it the believer out of her. Really. She said, I know. That the man of, and that the word in your mouth is God's word. She made a great confession. And she's a pagan from Zarephath. That's pagan territory. He said, honey, if you'll just do what I tell you and get in harmony with the word, we'll both be amazed at what come out of that. I can't play nothing, but I love to play. I love the violin, so I'm just suppose she picked up her violin. And she said, preacher, what is that note? He said, here it is. And she hit it. He said, that's right, honey. You just keep playing that. And we'll find out what comes out of this. I like to call it glory in the kitchen. As you imagine the gloom and doom when she told the man of God, she said, there ain't nothing left. I just got the last batch. I'm getting two sticks. We're going to cook this. We're going to die. He said, you don't have to do that. Here's what says the word of God. And she went and did according to the word of the Lord. And she fixed it and she gave it to the man of God. And I can see him as he wipes his lips. Now, honey, go fix you something. She knows the barrel's empty. She got the last handful. And can you imagine her going back into that kitchen and she reaches down into the barrel. Last time she got the last handful. It's gone. And she reaches down into that barrel and she feels. No, I don't think it ever got full. I think she just got a handful of, and she reached down there and she in the place where she got the last, there was another handful. And I don't think she was certainly not Baptist because she wouldn't have just said, well, look at y'all. Man alive, I'm surprised. You done got in mind you was going to bury your son. You was going to die. And now there's more. I believe she come out of there saying, woo! Got that oil and poured it in there and it's still oil. And woo! When they get to eat, man, they're eating sumptuously. Don't you know the neighbors could hear all that commotion going on? And I can hear some of them running up there, knocking on the door, saying, what's going on in here? And she said, well, I'm just praising God. And so I noticed your boy out here said, he looks fat and sassy. What are y'all eating? She said, well, we eating biscuits. Why? Said, ain't nobody else got any. Could you give us some? She said, well, to be honest with you, I just got my last handful out, but I'll go check and see. And I can see her running in, running that hand down into that barrel. She comes out and says, woo! I got another handful. Biscuits aplenty. Because somebody got in tune with God's word. And brothers and sisters, the word of God is given to us to take the sour notes out of us. Those wretched notes. You ever heard any of those and made some of those notes? That old critical attitude. Get that book and let it speak to you. Just wait on it. And then when you hear the sound, and just enjoy the blessings that flow out of it. These things this world will bring your way that you'll never find anywhere else. And what stories to tell. What stories to tell about the great things that God does simply because somebody got in tune with His Word. The Word was hiding Elijah. The Word was helping this woman. The Word was healing the boy. The Word has everything in harmony. It was working right. And I'll tell you what, children. You wouldn't want me to play the piano at all. Now, How many keys is on this? 88? Now, there's as many keys on that thing for me as there is for my wife. But I can't bring the same sound out of it. I don't have the hum to it. But isn't it amazing? She can come up here according to what key she's going to play in and hit one, and all the rest of those fingers work accordingly. And she can take that box right there, as Sister Pam can, and as was tonight, and make some music we all love. But I can take the same 88, and y'all be running out of here. You're talking about being bitter and upset. I can't believe we had a preacher come in here that bad. But I'm going to tell you something. God gave each one of us physically everything we needed to get in tune. But honey, it ain't you and I getting in, making our own sounds, hitting our own notes. That's what happens. And everything's so sour flowing out of it. But you and I taking the same instruments that he gave everybody else and hitting the right key, that heavenly note, and letting the Word of God work accordingly in our